This morning we're going to continue a series of messages that we've been working on the theme living authentically in today's world, or authentic living in today's world, as it says on the screen. And we've focused on a few different topics already, and this morning we're focusing on the theme of being authentic about our emotions. And you might wonder a little bit what that's going to be about. Well, we'll soon find out. So a passage that we're going to turn to is Philippians 4. Philippians 4, we're going to read the first 9 verses. So you can follow along on the screen, or if your Bibles, if you prefer that. So hear then the word of God. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God. Hugh Cook, in his novel, The Homecoming Man, tells a story about Paul Bloom moving back to the family farm with his elderly father, Garrett. Paul soon discovers his father acting very strange. As the result of his experiences in World War II concentration camp, Garrett has hidden those emotions for some 45 years and starts having flashbacks about his time of imprisonment. He especially feels guilt-ridden about leaking out some information during Nazi torturing tactics that led to the death of some other people. And Garrett vowed never to let anyone control him like this again. And suddenly, the dam of Garrett's pent-up anger and emotions began to break, and he's robbed of all joy and peace of mind. And still he kept those feelings all to himself, and he refused to admit to any of his problems. And this robs him of any meaningful relationships, even with his own family. He dies a lonely and bitter man. Psychologists tell us that people like Garrett are dealing with unfinished business, unresolved issues from the past that negatively affect one's present behavior, past pain and fears that are suppressed, feelings of anger, guilt, or grief that are brushed under the carpet. Such unfinished business is the source of much unhappiness in people's lives today. Now, for years, the Christian community has denied that a person's unfinished business can affect the present struggles of one's life. People say it's probably just some sin that needs to be dealt with in this person's life. Quit dredging up the past and just focus on living a life of praise and service to God, and you'll feel a whole lot better. Such admonitions have created much confusion within the body of Christ. People are led to say, I'm fine, when really they're not fine at all. And we're led to believe that strong Christians never show any signs of weakness. Isn't that what the Bible urges us to do, to stay strong and composed even in the face of death, suffering, failure, and betrayal? Even the Apostle Paul seems to say that in our text in Philippians 4 verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if you have any confusion about that, I will say it again. Rejoice. So many Christians decide to rejoice no matter what. Even if it means denying their pain, their loss, anger, embarrassment, or feelings of distrust or abandonment. They rejoice, or at least pretend to rejoice, even when they bury their unfinished business one more time. They've been taught that if they praise or serve God enough, the pain will disappear. And as a result, we make heroes of people who smile and sing their way through funerals of loved ones. We make role models of those who never cry or stop praising God through the deepest valleys of life. If only all Christians could be like that. The model that says, pull up your socks and get going. And sure, life isn't a picnic, but just make the best of it. And meanwhile, we stuff all our feelings of anger and hurt into a vault that's ready to explode at some expected moment in the future. The kind of rejoicing that Paul talks about in Philippians 4 is not this spiritualized denial of all emotions. Paul's rejoicing requires a rugged, mature faith that authentically acknowledges both the pains of life and God's unlimited grace and power. And that becomes clear within the broader context of Paul's letter to the Philippians. When the Bible talks about Paul and the Philippians, we think of Paul in prison. Take, for example, the story in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi. And what were they doing there? They were singing their hearts out to God in the middle of the night. And when Paul writes this book of Philippians, he's in prison once again. And yet this book talks more about joy than any other book of the Bible. Now, on the surface, Paul almost seems to be a real master of ignoring his pains and his fears in life and then just being able to rejoice in God anyway. It all seems somewhat unrealistic. It could even lead us to conclude, well, maybe Paul, the great missionary, can do this, but I can't. I'm not a great Christian like Paul is. I just don't have that kind of faith that Paul had. In the first chapter of Philippians, it shows Paul distressing about a situation in the Philippian church. There were certain preachers there who were peddling the gospel of Christ with impure motives and they were filling their pockets in the process. And does Paul rejoice over these men preaching this, preaching like that while he's not there with them in person? No way. I mean, how can Paul rejoice in this abuse of the message of Christ? And so listen to what Paul then says in Philippians 1 verse 18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or not, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice, says Paul. We notice there that Paul doesn't just sweep the issue under the carpet. It bothers him deeply. But Paul isn't about to give up on the church in Philippi. Paul openly laments the threat of these false preachers, but he views the whole situation from the perspective of God's overall activity in this world. Paul is still able to rejoice, knowing that even though these preachers are far from pure, Christ is still being preached. And we can learn here from Paul's attitude as we consider the challenges of our own lives. And Paul takes the same approach with some of the hardships that he encountered through his missionary endeavors. Paul knew that his life was, was often in danger, but he doesn't just meekly accept what his opponents are trying to do to him. In Philippians 3, verse 2, Paul says, watch out for these dogs, these men who do evil, these mutilators of the flesh. Paul doesn't just bury his emotions and pretend that everything's just fine. But he can still rejoice, knowing God will reward him for being faithful to his calling to preach Christ in the midst of these threats against his life. And that's then the context for Paul saying in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. What Paul is saying here is don't deny all the problems in your life. Don't ignore the hurt that you've experienced in your life. Just don't pretend that these things have never happened. But in the midst of these painful situations, says Paul, look for things that you can still be thankful for. Look for things that you can still rejoice about in the midst of the pain of your life. So how do we do that? When we find ourselves neck deep in financial difficulties, in child-rearing frustrations or marital problems? How do we rejoice authentically when we're carrying the emotional wounds of some unfinished business from the past? The first thing we need to realize is that we can't run from the inescapable pain, frustrations, and angry feelings of our lives. What we do need to do is we need to drop the masks, and we need to be honest with ourselves. To realize our parents were imperfect and treated us in ways that sometimes brought pain into our lives. To realize that a lost child through miscarriage or death is reason for grief. To realize that the actions of a wayward child does rip away at a parent's heart. That the breakup of a relationship is a painful experience. To lose a job or a business, that does create feelings of fear and anxiety. And that some physical, verbal, or even sexual abuse does cause devastation to one's life. That it's inescapable to not feel afraid, lonely, disappointed, or angry at times within a sinful world. Now, interestingly, Paul begins Philippians 4 by referring to a disagreement between two Christians named Euodia and Syntyche. And what does Paul tell them? Does Paul tell them to just simply ignore the feelings of hurt and to just rejoice in the Lord anyway? No, Paul doesn't do that. Paul tells them to get their frustrations into the open and to resolve their differences. In other words, Paul says, don't let this linger as some unfinished business in your lives. And then Paul goes on to say, rejoice in the Lord always. It's like he says here to Euodia and Syntyche, now you might be angry about this, But don't be so hard on each other. Be willing to forgive each other and try to find something that you can still appreciate in each other. And if you find that so difficult, remember, people will invariably disappoint you. But you need to realize that in the problems of your life, God will never let you down. God invites you to come to Him and tell Him how you feel about your pain or disappointment and to realize that God promises to stick with you no matter what through the struggles of your life. But that's exactly where many of us tend to get stuck in our lives. Our religious background tells us that God is in control and that God knows what He's doing and that God planned it that way. And who are we to ask God to change the situation? Doesn't God promise to work all things for good in our lives? Doesn't the Bible tell us to rejoice in God always, no matter what the circumstances? There's one section in the Bible that some of us maybe don't always pay that attention to. Namely, the book of Psalms. If we read the book of Psalms, we see how the psalmists repeatedly cry out to God in the midst of their pain and confusion. God, can't you understand what's going on in my life? How can you allow me to struggle like this? Why do the righteous suffer while the wicked prosper? God, help me in my pain and my confusion. And as the psalmists do that, it's like they release the pain and the struggles of their lives to God. The psalmists never have a God decreed it, so don't ask questions kind of mindset. And the Apostle Paul says to us, don't try to sort through all the problems of your life all by yourself. Allow God to speak to you and to help you in the midst of your troubles. As Paul says in verse 7, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In other words, the cure for our emotional wounds isn't inactivity. God expects us to do our part in dealing with the emotional wounds of our lives. Not that we can fix them on our own, but Paul says, if you are anxious, if you're troubled, let God know how you feel. Because nothing is too great for God to overcome, and nothing is too small for God not to be concerned about that in your life. And when we honestly express our feelings of pain and frustration to God, like with the psalmist, invariably that can relieve the tension of our pent-up emotions. Like the psalmist, after an outburst of true feelings expressed to God, can come a renewed sense of peace and perspective in our lives. We can realize anew that despite the pain and the unanswered questions of our lives, that God is still God of our lives. There's hope in knowing that we're not alone in our pain, that we still matter to God, that our ever-present and loving and gracious God is still faithful to His promises to provide for all of our needs in the midst of our troubles. And in that, we can still rejoice. You see, when we read the Psalms, we see over and over how the psalmists take comfort in knowing that God is still the ruler of this world. That God will ultimately overcome all the evil and the brokenness of this world. That God is still always stronger than the enemy. And that's what enables Paul to rejoice despite the trials of his life. Paul knows without a doubt that God is stronger than anything that Satan can try to throw his way. That we can have the peace of knowing that God sent his son Jesus to overcome the work of Satan, the evil one in this world, and how that often affects us in our lives. That we can have the assurance that God continues to love us and to care for us no matter what happens to us in our lives. In another letter that the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul talks about a problem that he experiences in his life. He talks about having what he calls a thorn in the flesh. And it's interesting what Paul calls this thorn of the flesh. In verse 7 it says, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And Paul says there in that passage that three times he prays earnestly for God to remove that thorn in the flesh. But God chooses not to do so. Instead, God gives Paul this wonderful promise in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And that's what enables Paul then to rejoice in his weakness in verse 10. For when I am weak, then I am strong, says Paul. Paul rejoices in knowing that God is still in control as the ruler of this broken and sinful world that we live in. And that's what enables Paul then to say in Philippians 4, verse 7, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Bible assures us that we encounter Jesus most deeply in the pain and the suffering of our lives. Now, I think most of us, we would rather identify with Jesus in his success. But you know, the truth is, we encounter Jesus most fully in our times of weakness, in our times of grief, in our times of our pain and the experience of our emotional wounds. We find comfort in knowing that our Savior suffers with us. Hebrews 2 verse 10 says that Jesus was made perfect through his suffering. And for that reason, many times in our lives, we don't really grow in the grace of Jesus apart from pain and weakness in our lives. God gives us the strength to move on from the despair of our struggles to the point of acceptance, and then often even to the point of experiencing new joy in our lives. You see, the truth is, authentic people aren't always fine. Those who always say, I'm fine, too often hide behind their true feelings. As Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 11, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Paul was content even in times of frustration, despair, and sorrow. And Paul, as we read his letters, we realize he never buries his true feelings. He openly shares the personal struggles and the pain of his life, and yet he's still able to rejoice in the Lord at all times because he knows that God is with him in the midst of his pain and his struggle. And why is that? Well, all of our feelings, they come from the same reservoir within our hearts. Studies show that when we dam up the stream of weak emotions like fear, sorrow, and anger in our lives, invariably what we do is we cut off the flow of our feelings of laughter, warmth, affection, and joy in our lives. And yet, many times we take pride in being, you know, an even-keeled kind of a person, especially, I think, for a lot of us men. We tend to look down on people with wide mood swings, and we think, oh, they're just weak people. But the truth is, some of us even-keeled people, we have a hard time expressing any kind of true emotion in our lives. We often even have a hard time rejoicing about anything in life. And that often affects the way that we live as Christians. Our lives are often robbed of joy when we really don't allow God to enter in to the deepest pains and feelings of our lives. Too often we struggle away trying to overcome our feelings of insecurity and weakness. Too often we don't even let our family members or fellow Christians in on the struggles of our lives. And then we wonder why so often we feel lonely. Why we feel that we have a lack of peace deep inside. With God's help, we need to learn to release the pent-up emotions that are often so deeply suppressed within our hearts. That we need to learn that it's not a sign of weakness for us to share our pain with other people. Interestingly, even Jesus did that. Jesus cried and shared his pain with others. Jesus himself expressed the words of the Psalms in the deepest hours of suffering and pain when he cried out for God to remove his cup of suffering on the cross. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set out before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In other words, there's comfort and joy in knowing that Jesus understands our pain, in knowing that God promises to be there for us in the midst of our struggles. And one thing we need to realize is that one way in which God often helps us in our struggles is through the other people that God provides into our lives. That's why God places us within his church, for that express reason, so that we can share each other's burdens, so that we can rejoice with those who rejoice within the body of Christ. God heals us when a dear friend or some trusted person affirms our pain or sympathizes with us in our weakness. And God sometimes even needs to use the professional help of some counselor when the pain of our unfinished business runs so deep and so unresolved for so many years that we need the help of some other professional to sort through some of those deep pains of our lives. Now, admittedly, it's never easy to deal with our emotions in an authentic way. But Jesus says that the truth will make us free. God wants to free us from our inner turmoil. And through God's grace in Jesus, we can learn to truly rejoice, knowing that our suffering Savior is able to help us in our suffering. We rejoice in knowing that God hears our prayers of distress. We rejoice knowing that God promises us a peace that passes all understanding when our hearts and our minds are guarded in Christ Jesus. And so my prayer is that God will grant us that kind of peace, hope, and joy in the midst of the troubles that we experience in this life. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for assuring us that you know exactly what's happening in each of our lives at all times of our lives. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for promising to be there for us, especially in those times when we feel weak, in those times when we struggle in our lives. Help us, Lord God, not to try to bury or to try to cover up our problems or weaknesses. Help us to learn to release them to you, especially those deep emotional wounds where people have hurt us so deeply with their words and their actions. Lord God, we pray that you'll give us the courage to share those hurts with some other trusted person. We pray that you'll help us especially to claim the promise that you will never desert us, that you will always hear our prayers of distress, and that you promise that because of Jesus, that you will give us a peace that passes all understanding when our hearts and our minds are guarded in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that we may be the kind of community where we can feel safe to be the body of Christ, where we can truly care for each other, where we can look at each other despite our weaknesses, and where we can together find our strength in you because of what you've promised us in Jesus. So we pray that in his name. Amen.